Hey everybody, Kevin Rose here. Welcome back to another episode of The Kevin Rose Show. I'm delighted that you are joining me for this episode. It's a very important one because a lot of people out there are freaking out about the latest coronavirus, the COVID-19. So I wanted to have on Dr. Andrew Weil just to really see how he's preparing for the potential outbreak here in the United States. Now, for those of you that don't know, Dr. Weil has his MD from Harvard. He's a best-selling author, and Time Magazine put him on their cover twice, naming him one of the 25 most influential Americans. I love Dr. Weil because he has a wealth of knowledge in both Western and Eastern medicine. So a few of the compounds that we talk about today are used in Asian cultures. You may have never heard of them before, which is great because I'm trying to stock up my cabinet with anything and everything that could potentially help us out. Before we get started, in full disclosure, I'm an investor in Dr. Weil's matcha tea company, which is matcha.com. It's a tea company that started a few years ago. In knowing Dr. Weil personally, I know that he sources the absolute best, like highest quality grade matcha that you can import from Japan. And so I was really excited when I heard that he was going to be bringing that and actually selling it online. So I made an investment and I think it's awesome tea. So I hope you will check that out and enjoy it. So with that, everyone out there, please stay safe, wash your hands. This is Dr. Andrew Weil. So obviously a ton of people are freaked out about this. I've got friends that are in cabins, buying all kinds of food and stocking up for Armageddon, it feels like. Tell me, I guess for people that don't know, I'm sure everyone does know what this is at this point, but what's your take on what's going on? I would love just to hear how fearful you are of this yourself.
You know, I'm not particularly fearful. I think it is hard to sort out the news because there's a lot of sensationalism and a lot of paranoia. And I think the information that the CDC is putting out is probably the most accurate. So what's going on is there was an outbreak of a new type of coronavirus in this one province in China, and the Chinese government did not do a very good job of handling it at the beginning. It's affected thousands of people. What is now concerning is that there are outbreaks in other countries. Italy, for example, I just heard there are two cases in Mexico. There's one in California and nobody knows the source of it. So it is not yet a pandemic. It's multiple outbreaks. And coronaviruses are a large family of viruses. Many of them cause very minor illnesses, common colds or GI upsets. And a few of them that have appeared recently are much more serious. SARS and the one called MERS, Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome, you know, that have significant fatality rates. But I would say at the moment, I think the flu is much more of a concern. The flu is a very serious disease with high rates of complications. Last year, 80,000 people in the U.S. died from the flu. And that dwarfs anything that's going on at the moment with coronavirus. So I would say, you know, it looks as if this is going to spread, but it's very hard to tell what the course it will be. Sometimes these new viruses, after a period of being very infective and serious, become muted in the effects that they cause, and some of them just fade away. So at this point, I think it's hard to say. The chances are we're going to see cases of it appear in the U.S., and it will spread to some degree.
I understand that 80,000 people died in the United States from the standard flu, but the actual rate of death is around 0.1%, and they're saying that this is, you know, 2%, which is like a 20x increase in terms of the people that it's going to or could potentially kill. Do you think those numbers are accurate?
I don't know, and I think the emphasis there is potential, and it also depends how widely this can spread. The flu is highly infectious and spreads very easily. So this is one of the things that's hard to sort out. Another question I think we don't know at the moment is whether it can be transmitted by people who do not yet develop symptoms.
If
that's the case, that's much more of a concern. Another question is, does the virus persist on surfaces and for how long? And can you get it by touching something that an infected person has touched? You know, we don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. So what's your general take on how are you personally preparing for this and how are you advising other people to prepare?
Well, I would first really pay attention to all the standard precautions, hand washing being the most important, avoiding people who are sick. By the way, let me just say something here, Kevin. One of the things that just bugs me is that people who are sick don't stay at home. you know, it just drives me crazy. You go to a public place and you see people sneezing and obviously sick. They should not be out in public. And, you know, while I don't think masks offer much protection to you from getting infected, they certainly can reduce the possibility of transmission. And I'm sure you know from your time in Japan, and this is something I saw a long time ago, there's a custom there that when people are sick, they either stay away or they wear face masks to prevent transmission to other people. And I don't see that happening here.
Yeah.
So of the precautions, hand washing and avoiding infected people, one of the ones that I think is really worth paying attention to is trying not to touch your face, because that's the way that we transmit germs to openings in our body and allow them entry. And most of us touch our face many times during the day, and we're mostly unconscious of that. So that's something really to try to pay attention to. Then they're all that I have people telling me they're trying to stockpile antiviral drugs. I think that's a waste of time. These drugs are of questionable efficacy. They're expensive. They may be dangerous. Now, I wouldn't bother with anything like that. But I think there are some strategies you can do to make sure your immune system is in good working order and to reduce the chance of getting being susceptible to a virus. So, you know, one of them is making sure your vitamin D level is in the high optimum range. If you haven't had it tested, worth getting to know that. And, you know, probably taking somewhere between 2,000 and 4,000 IU of vitamin D3 daily. Mm-hmm. The other thing I would strongly recommend, if there is a real threat of the disease appearing here, is to take the Chinese herb astragalus every day. This is a very well-known medicinal plant, non-toxic, can be used long-term, good research supporting it, its efficacy against viral infections. There are many good brands out there. It's not expensive, but you can take a standardized extract, I'd say one or two capsules twice a day, and you can do that, you know, throughout the whole time that the coronavirus is a threat. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, I would recommend using some of the mushroom products that we have talked about. You know, there's a number of Asian mushrooms that have immune-enhancing effects and that build resistance to infection, including viral infections. And that includes species like shiitake, maitake, reishi, oyster mushrooms, a bunch of others. And you can find products that have mixtures of extracts of these. Again, completely non-toxic and be taken on a regular basis.
And I know Paul Stamets has had a couple different immunity products that you have used in the past. Do you still use those?
I do. I use them every day. But one that I would recommend using of his is MycoShield Throat Spray. This is an extract of mushrooms, comes in different flavors, and a spray bottle that you can spray into your mouth and throat. I use this if I'm going on airplanes, if I'm out in public, and if I'm around people who might be sick. I think this is a really good thing to have on hand. It reduces the risk of contracting something through your oral or nasal cavity.
Gotcha. That's great.
So MycoShield Throat Spray. I like the cinnamon flavored one.
What do you think of all these different berry extracts? It seems they're getting paired with you know, the zinc and vitamin C, where they'll have, it's this one dark berry that I think is popping up all over the place. Elderberry was the berry I was thinking of. It seems like that is everywhere on the immunity aisle of Whole Foods.
Well, there is some research showing that elderberry extracts may shorten the duration of the flu, may reduce the risk of getting it. But I think that's not in the same league as astragalus or allicin. But let me read you a letter that I got, an email that I got from a Chinese colleague and friend of mine. This is Dr. Qingkai Zhang. He's a highly trained medical doctor, trained in China, based in New York, but he recently got back from China. And he says that he got the story that in one Chinese county, Lanlin County of Shandong Province, where most of the garlic is produced in China, the county has 1.3 million people and has 30,000 people who were working in Wuhan, the epidemic center. There is no single person who has been infected with coronavirus. They eat a lot of garlic regularly. So he himself was using a garlic extract, and allicin, which is the active principle in garlic, that he was taking every day. He and his wife were quarantined for 14 days, and he thinks that's one of the best candidates out there for preventing it.
Now, there's been some aged garlic that you see in capsule form. Do you have any thoughts on that versus fresh?
Worthless.
Worthless.
Yeah. Allicin is not present in raw garlic. It's formed when fresh garlic is crushed and exposed to air. And so the way to get the maximum dose of allicin is to take fresh garlic cloves, put them through a garlic press, and let them sit for 10 minutes before you add them to food or add them to anything being cooked. Anything you do to garlic, such as drying it, aging it, fermenting it, destroys allicin.
Interesting. So you would recommend just like a clove or two a day? Is there any GI issues with that? Or
well, I think if you start it with small amounts and work up, no. And I also find if you do that on a regular basis, you don't smell of it either. That's just what I find. But you can buy standardized extracts of allicin in capsules, which is a convenient way to take that.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know they made that in capsule form.
Yep. Actually, my friend, Dr. Zhang, has a company. It's Zhang Health Company. If you Google that, you can find these standardized allicin capsules. They're very powerful, and I have a supply of them on hand.
And how do you spell Zhang?
Z-H-A-N-G.
These are all great remedies to have around the house. What are your thoughts on vitamin C?
I think the evidence for vitamin C as a preventive is not very great, but I think, you know, it may be useful for if you catch a cold coming on or the flu right at the beginning, maybe it's useful. I'm not sure your body can use more than, you know, a modest amount per day. High doses aren't going to hurt you. They may cause some gas and GI and loose stools, but I don't know that they're necessary to take more than, you know, 1,000 milligrams at a time.
Gotcha. And then any other things in terms of like different teas or other compounds that you're consuming?
You know, well, of course, as you know, I am a regular drinker of matcha. And I think matcha has a number of very good effects on health. I don't know that it has specific antiviral effects or keeps you healthy or avoid getting infection. But I know many people who are regular matcha consumers who think, you know, that's part of their health regimen.
Yeah, there's certainly, it's funny, we'll definitely give you a plug on that as well on matcha.com, which I'm an investor in, which is your product. Yeah. I got your little packets of like to go, which has been great for traveling, just to put the matcha on the road.
Let me say something, Kevin, about masks, because there was a story on NPR today about the run on masks online.
Yes.
You know, ordinary masks are permeable by viruses, so they don't do anything to keep you from getting infected. The only ones that reduce the possibility of your inhaling or swallowing a virus are these N95 respirators, and that's like a really high-tech piece of equipment. They're not very comfortable to wear, and at the moment, the CDC only recommends them for healthcare workers who may have contact with infected persons. There's also, you may have seen they sent out an advisory that facial hair is not a good idea if you're trying to mask. So I guess I fall into the category where very useful. I think the main strategy of trying to avoid people who are sick and contact with people who are sick is very, very important. I read you can look this up. It's an interesting story. In the 1918 flu pandemic, this was devastating in this country. And the only community that had no cases was Gunnison, Colorado, a little mining town at fairly high altitude. And they implemented a very strict policy of quarantine. They barricaded the roads, blocked the railways, posted armed sentries at all entrances to the town. And they had no cases of infection. And a lot of neighboring communities had very high rates of infection. So quarantine can be a very effective strategy.
How do you recommend people deal with the stress of all of this? Because, you know, I'd imagine I have a friend of mine that told me, you know, she was only sleeping a few hours because she's so stressed out by it.
Well, that's nonsense. I mean, at the moment, you know, there are very few cases in this country. I don't think it's an immediate threat. I think there's no point in worrying about that. And that's the kind of thing where I think, as I said, the flu is really a much greater threat for most people. A friend of mine here, a woman who's my age in her late 70s, just came down with the flu classic, you know, very sudden onset. She said from one minute to the next, she suddenly had chills, fever, and she was really incapacitated for several days. It's a serious disease. That's really around right now. And I think that's one that we should be more thinking about than coronavirus, which for us at the moment is a distant threat.
when someone becomes infected with, you know, either the coronavirus or the flu, what's your strategy there? Like, what do you recommend?
Okay, there's no specific treatment, and we don't know if any of the currently available antiviral drugs have any effect. I think I would just redouble all those, you know, bed rest, lots of fluid, taking all these, you know, immune boosting things that we've talked about. I think I would especially rely on Allicin. But other than that, I think you wait it out and your chances are that, you know, you'll ride it out. It may be uncomfortable, but it'll be, I don't think, any worse than the flu.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I would say that concerns me more than anything else is if it is sending 20% of people to the hospital, if it does become widespread, then that has the capability of just overwhelming the medical system, you know?
It could. And already, you know, we're seeing a huge impact on the economy here, very dramatic. And I think that's, again, very fear-based. But I think we'll have to wait and see what happens. It's all speculation at this point. And by the way, there is a lot of work going on to develop a vaccine. And, you know, it's not impossible that by the time there is an outbreak here, that a vaccine will be available.
How hard is it to ramp something like that up in terms of, you know, finding something, testing it in humans, and then actually getting it out to the masses? I would imagine that would be, you know, a year plus out.
It depends on the virus and how it behaves. This one, it sounds like they're confident they can get a vaccine fairly quickly. We'll see. There is now, as you know, a test for coronavirus, but in this country, it's only being performed by the CDC. So samples, sputum samples, have to be sent to the CDC for testing.
Right. And I've heard they don't have that many kits, which is crazy.
Right.
This is all great information. Is there anything else that we're missing that we should be paying attention to?
I think, you know, as I said, what I find difficult at the moment is sorting out what's fact and what's speculation, because there's just so much stuff out there right now that is sensationalized about this. And I would use the CDC site. I think that's very reliable, non-hysterical information.
When someone does get pneumonia, like let's say it does progress to that point, is there anything that's applicable on the kind of natural remedy side, like sauna usage or anything that can help with the congestion and help speed up recovery and minimize damage?
In true pneumonia, that's, you know, an infection of the lungs and is quite serious. And that's one of the most worrisome complications of the flu. The people who are most susceptible to that are older people with pre-existing respiratory disease, people with compromised immune systems. So, and if you do get pneumonia, I think you really need to be under full medical care. If it's a viral pneumonia, there's, again, no specific treatment. If it's a bacterial pneumonia, you use antibiotics. No, I don't think saunas would be appropriate.
Great. Well, Dr. Well, thank you so much for being on. And, you know, where can people find you these days online?
I'm at drweil.com, drweil.com. You can also find me at matcha.com. And on the University of Arizona's site, integrativemedicine.arizona.edu.
Excellent. Well, thank you.
Good to talk to you, Kevin. Stay healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll do my best.
Okay. Bye-bye.
So that is it for this episode. It was a quick one, but I'm really excited to get this information out there because it's important we don't freak out, but we also, you know, obviously respect that this thing is going around and we need to take precautions, especially around, you know, washing our hands and just being safe. So wanted to share that. Thanks for listening. And if you enjoyed it, please head on over to your favorite podcast app and give us 5 stars. We'd appreciate the review.